Welcome to The Get Together, a podcast for the live digital community.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating the future of live digital events and performances.
They are disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what The Get Together is all about.
I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
And hey, we want to welcome you. Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. I just listened to our episode with Lucy this morning and it was really good. And it made me a little sad today to not have her here with us.
Yeah, she's good.
She is. You were particularly clever in that episode too.
Was I? I can't wait to listen back.
Yeah, it's good. It really is good. And I like, she gave us a little like editing treat with the top and the bottom of the episode that I really enjoyed.
Ooh, fun. Well, if this is your first episode with us at the Get Together, you should go back and listen to the last episode with our former producer, Miss Lucy Kirk.
Who got snatched up by CBS Sunday Morning, because that's what kind of ship we're running around here. People going to CBS Sunday Morning and the Met live cast. Oh, pretty proud of that, honestly.
Really proud. Feel good.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about like all the incredible people we've gotten to work with. And like I mentioned this in the episode that sometimes it's very frustrating because we're a small company still. And a lot of we just like can't hire full time. So we, you know, watch a lot of people walk in our doors and back out. But it's also really gratifying because it means we get to spend time and create with all these incredible people, like just a never ending cavalcade of incredible people.
Yeah. Are you an incredible person? You should hit us up on Twitter.
I literally thought you were asking me that. And I was like, why is he asking me this? It's weird. And I don't know what to say.
That would be an exceptionally weird question to just put at someone else in conversation at any. It only makes sense across the podcast
medium.
Are
you exceptional, Joe?
I'm like an ad on the subway.
Are you?
I am.
So for today's episode, I actually read an article this morning by a dude I was very honored to get to interview for a fireside last year. His name's Josh Kaplan, and he sort of led the charge across Morning Brew's podcast initiatives. And I believe he had something to do with growing that newsletter, as big as it got as well. But he has moved away from Morning Brew and started his own company alongside one of his other colleagues from Morning Brew. And they were just like doing an update article. And I, you know, checked in because I like keeping tabs on how he's doing. And I really liked how he sort of unveiled and sort of rolled out what they've been working on, what they're planning on doing next, and was kind of inspired to see if we could do the same thing on today's episode, particularly because, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but y'all, thanks for listening. Our listenership like 1.5x'd over the last month is big.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
So we throw around a lot of terms on this podcast, like live digital. But we never really stopped to talk a little bit about what it is and why we invest in it.
We love making up terms, but sometimes we define them too for you.
when you're feeling extra fancy. So I don't know. What do you think, Joe? You up for trying to do this?
Yeah, let's see what I got.
All right. Well, with that, thanks for getting together with us and let's get to it. All right. So we as a company at All Together Now make live digital strategy, live digital production, hashtags that say live digital, all kinds of things. What the fuck does live digital mean?
What is live digital? Is there a word for what we did there? Where we took two words that have meanings and smashed them. They're not all the way together. You know, it's not a portmanteau. It's not like a new smashed together word. It's a phrase. Is it just a phrase? That's boring.
We just made a phrase. And a hashtag.
Okay. That's good enough.
So what is live digital to you? So this should be an interesting question because I'm going to back up and say, if you're new to the show, Joe is a tech and media startup guy. I'm a theater person by trade. So we come at this from very different places. So what do you say live digital is if someone asks you?
Ooh, I want to take a half step back from the question and talk about like the evolution of how people have used the internet and sort of I'm extrapolating from the word digital now. And early on, you know, it was text-based. And then as soon as storage and bandwidth got higher and you were able to stream video, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the early YouTube days and other media players, it became immediately about posting and consuming video. Mm-hmm. And we've reached a point now where storage, bandwidth, equipment, it's all reached a high enough level that we can all be live with each other all the time on mm-hmm. the internet if we so choose. And we've been able to do that for a while now, but it's reached a new level with the number of devices, the amount of equipment, and being forced to be live through a digital device for 2 years, I think has accelerated the trend. Yeah. So I like thinking about it in that steady progression of like kind of one part informed by the limitations of the technology, you know, which just, again, giving us fences within which to create mm-hmm. borders. And so, yeah, moving from text to video to live video, I guess. I don't think of it like as video in the same way. But that's sort of like how my brain gets to where we are and gets to sort of my thoughts around and my definition of live digital, which is like the sort of simultaneous interaction of two human beings using a technological media interface. How's that for as many techie buzz things I could throw in there?
Can you just say that one more time for me?
I can't possibly. I literally need to listen back to myself to know what I just said.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Good thing we're going to transcribe this episode so you can say it again in the future.
For real. But I think it's like important that sort of like it feels like progress, like we've reached live digital. You know, it didn't just happen. It sort of was born of a whole bunch of different things coming together at the right time. Because mm-hmm. we are in a moment of live digital right now is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there is the ability to do live streaming things on the internet. There's the desire for people to do live streaming things on the internet. And we're helping to sort of like create art inside of that medium.
I love that. And I can remember just a little bit of what you said in that phrase, which is something about interfaces and people interacting with each other. Yeah. So this is like a place where I get a little stuck, and just, which is okay. I'm happy being stuck and just trying to figure it out as I go. But your answer, right, which is the practical technical version of it, right, is of course like on the other side of my answer to it, which is I think of it as a medium and an art form. But this is where I get to my little stuck problem that I think is really interesting, is like your answer for it is both of our answers are right. Yeah. They're like two pieces of the same pie, I guess. But when I think of what we do in live digital, at least for now, maybe this doesn't stay forever, I don't know, but at least for now, we do the thing you just outlined, right? We strategize around the ability for people to be together through interfaces live, but that can be done through like social media, like a live Instagram, right? An Instagram live for all you youngins who know the real phrase.
Wait, what's that? I don't know that word.
Through an Instagram live, but that's not really what we do, right? Like a lot of what we do starts to veer into that, what I consider a medium art form type area, because we're thinking about it. It's like what you described as 1.0 of live digital. Mm-hmm. And what we do, where we try to create experiences that are comparable to the in real life experience, it feels to me like 2.0 of live digital.
Yeah.
But it's not clearly, it's not clear from just the word live digital, right? You know what I mean? They're exactly why we're sitting here trying to define it right now.
Yeah. Now, I like that idea that the way that I described it, which is, you know, to my word of the week, tethered. It's like tethered to.
I thought grifty was the word of your week.
That's the word of the day.
Oh, sorry.
Tethered in grift. Does that make any sense? I don't think so.
Sure.
But yeah, the things that I'm like, you know, drawing from and almost a little stuck on are like, yeah, the tangible tethers to like just processing power, you know, a thing that's like measurable, it's just like easier for my head to wrap around it.
Yeah.
And it becomes therefore foundational. And it is the base layer of technology that allows for all the second and third order things to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's all the like, okay, the technology exists. It is now possible for us to interact with each other. Now, how are we doing it? Mm-hmm. Like, what is interesting about it? How do we add that humanity back into the experience?
Because
it's so much more than just what the tech could in theory do. And it's actually how you do it.
which I love because that's always our first question under anytime you see All Together Now and Live Digital. It's what is your live digital strategy? How? It's the how. You got the technology. Now what are you doing with it?
Yeah. Yeah. That's table stakes.
Yeah.
And now it's, onward and onward. I don't know. Onward forever. There's some phrase I'm looking for that I cannot find.
Huh. So, because this is what I wrote. I was like prepping and thinking about this episode. Now I'm trying to like back into including what you said.
Oh, the definition is written down? That
well,
wasn't a
mine.
Joke? I'm just kidding.
Oh, you such a... Oh, you do. I heard you had tone issues in the last episode.
Tone? What's tone?
Oh, boy.
I need to use lots of emojis and exclamation points.
I wonder... Well, maybe I'm going to even turn this into a question for you. So this is what I wrote down when I was thinking through this episode today. Live digital is a medium and an art form that allows digital audiences, your fans, your customers, your community, to have comparable experiences to IRL audiences. My question for you, I suppose, is like, do we co-opt live digital to mean the more for us? If we're going to just assign two words together that weren't used, like, do we just skip, you know what I mean, the technical and the technical definition and say, no, this is what live digital means. It's the human part of being together through technology live.
I think hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Because we can always modify, right? It's like the live digital infrastructure is what I was talking about. Mm. It's the infrastructure that empowers live digital.
Because
that's the boring part. Who cares about that?
It's not that boring.
Okay. It's interesting, but not what I feel like talking about right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And so a co-opting of the feeling of live digital.
Because
I do think like the technology is a bit of the boring part. Like, you know, yeah. I don't know how phones work, right? Like going back to like landlines.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I heard someone use this example where it was like, you don't ask the average person who's picking up a phone to tell you how that freaking works. Like with electrical currents and, you know, delays and into switchboards, like all of that stuff. Maybe Giuliano, our good friend Giuliano Mingucci, could
shout
explain
out to Giuliano,
the transfer of data packets over phone lines. But like, it is not a prerequisite to understand that to pick up a phone and call your grandma.
Right.
And like something about that ties back to how I feel about live digital, which is like, you do not need to understand the infrastructure.
Right.
Heck, we don't even want you to try.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're really interested in there from you do you, but.
And we'll talk to you for 3 hours because we actually do think it's really interesting. Just FYI.
But that the place to sort of keep moving this forward is around like how humans interact over the technological infrastructure.
Yeah. And I feel I got asked, I think I have not even told you this. So breaking news, last night, I'm going to tell a little story around this because it's amusing. I was on my way out of the office to go see a reading with Red Bull Theater here in New York of A Tempest, which is an adaptation, a post-colonial adaptation of The Tempest. And our good friend Laura Ivey texted me, who is the executive producer on Maestra Amplify 2022, which is a hybrid concert we're working on right now. And she was like, hey, pre-sale tickets are going live tomorrow. Does Broadway Unlocked, which is our other company we own that makes content in this space, do you have a hashtag you want us to use? For instance,
hashtag blessed.
Ugh. Le Poisson Rouge, where the show is going to be in real life, wants them to use hashtag live at LPR. And I was thinking, so I said to Laura, first of all, I said, I'll be back with you. I'm seeing The Tempest, so it could be 9 days from now because The Tempest is
and
so
I'll,
long.
I'll be a changed human.
Yeah, exactly.
So my answer will be different after those 9 days.
Exactly. And sure enough, Laura texted me following up later that night before I ever got home. I was like, still not home, still at The Tempest.
Still temping.
But that being said, I thought and I thought and I thought about it and I was trying to think of something clever and something brand focused. But then I thought of something that really goes back to this conversation and ultimately landed on it, which is I just want when people see the hashtag live digital, I want them to know what it feels like. That's what I want associated with that is the feeling of being part of a digital audience, which is different than being a part of an in real life audience and is exciting and incomparable. There's nothing like a lot of the digital experiences we've been able to create so far. And I thought, that's it. That's all I want. I want live digital to exist and I want it to be a feeling.
I like that a lot. I have two questions and a thought.
Okay.
First question, How did it look? Was it camel case? Was it no spaces, hashes, dashes?
Is camel case capital then small?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did camel case with that one. So
capital L, capital D.
Yeah. Cool. No spaces.
Very cool. I lost my other question, so we're moving on.
Okay. You said you had two questions and a comment.
The comment is still coming.
Okay, good.
But as you were just describing that, and you know, there was no altogether now watermark inside right. of that hashtag. There was no Broadway Unlocked watermark inside of that hashtag. We're not trying to own the term live digital. Mm-mm. We're trying to propagate it. We're trying to share it. We're trying to get it out there into the world through this feeling that you're talking about. And yeah. I was like, oh, we're open sourcing live digital.
Oh, I'm into
it's
that.
Like, hi, this is for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, take it. Take it and run with it and enjoy it. And like, we do stand to benefit if more people, you know, think about and enjoy that concept.
Yeah.
But it's not ours to own.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Oh, I love that. Well, I think that's a really good transition into talking a little bit about why we invest in live digital here and sort of what our premise is as a company, right? Because we help people create live digital strategy. And if we're going to put our time and energy into helping people create live digital strategy, we must think something beneficial comes from that.
Just fun. Just fun to do.
Just fun. Just pay us money and have some fun with us. Which is like actually not untrue. That's like the fifth bullet point on this list, I feel like.
Yeah, that's like the bonus kicker that we throw in.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this will be fun.
99% can guarantee you will have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Should we also, the sixth bullet is like, there will be headaches too, because there's headaches
probably,
in everything.
For sure. So, so if we assume that there are beneficial outcomes from investing in live digital strategy, how would you break those down? Like, do we have like a decent non-overwhelming list in your opinion?
Yeah. Well, in addition to fun and headache filled, I do think the really big ones that we like to focus on are building audience. Like,
for
there's
sure.
just a wealth of humans that can be brought into your orbit because of the fact that
it's the internet.
Digital technology lives on the internet.
Hey.
Yeah. And you know, and connected to that is the idea of growing revenue. You know, whatever your revenue yep. stream is, more equals more.
I am not great at math, but that's one I understand.
And something kind of interesting and maybe a little counterintuitive is the idea that you could actually deepen connections across live digital.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who would claim to be zoomed out would challenge us on that.
Yeah.
And I say, challenge accepted. See you in the ring. That's the name of our new podcast, The Ring.
Oh my God. I love watching Joe do his bits.
That one came out of nowhere.
That's
I don't know
good.
Where that one came
okay.
from. It was great.
All right. All right. Wait. So recapping, build an audience,
mm-hmm.
grow revenue,
yep.
deepen connection.
Yeah. Is there anything else I missed?
I mean, I would definitely put like the accessibility piece on this too, right? We every time we engage in live digital strategy, the outcome is that we, with our clients, co-create what I have been referring to a lot lately as radical acts of accessibility, which is like my favorite cherry on top. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's squishy, but like in this day and age of stakeholder, right, run companies and impact and like the search for transformation with your customers and all of that good stuff, like, it's one of my favorite things about live digital is it is an act of radical accessibility.
I like that. I like too that one like can and should be its own. Like it's important to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
but it also like feeds the other ones mm-hmm. in many ways, right? The deepening of connection, the building of audiences, the growth of revenue. It's like, it's all interconnected,
mm-hmm.
but like to call attention to that one specifically because it just wasn't possible without live digital or before live digital.
Yeah, it is it's the interesting one in some ways and the outlier to me too, because when I started this work in 2013, it was the entry point of accessibility, right? Not in the way we talk about it a lot now, but like I want to open the doors to the life I get to live every day with my friends who make theater with me to all these other people. And I know it's possible because of that technology you were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
But now, 9 years later, everything is kind of flipped. And it can be the entry point still for why someone wants to go after live digital, but it's also the outcome. Like someone can come in because they want to build an audience, but they will always results in a radical act of accessibility alongside all the other good stuff.
Yeah, I love that your starting point was the accessibility, because you know, it can be kind of trite to be like, I want to grow my revenue and at all costs, right? And if there's something unsatisfying about that, you know, especially in our current moment of capitalism, woe is me.
Oof, I just saw that real dissatisfied across Joe's face. That was fleeting. It was like so fast, but I saw it.
Yeah, it's just woof. And it is true. It's at the core of everything, whatever. But like, we don't always have to start there.
That's true. And look, hey, I say, you know, I'm, as you all know, a bleeding heart. I will do anything and not get paid for it if it matters, you know. Don't tell anyone I said that, everyone. But I kind of like the opposite world, too, of what you're saying. So while acknowledging, like, I always start from the other side. I love a world where you could maybe in live digital, where live digital is concerned, just be like, yo, I want to make a shit ton of money from my DAO, but also actually put some good into the world just because you engaged with live digital.
I love that. Accidental acts of radical accessibility.
I'm not mad about it. Whatever. If it happens, I don't care if it was purposeful or not.
Yeah. What is that phrase? I use it all the time and I cannot think of it for the life of me. It's like in the world of accessible design. And it's the idea that something that was designed for...
Universal design.
There it is. Thank God. Yeah. It's universal design. It's, you know... Someone can approach this medium without ever planning for or aiming at or prioritizing accessibility, but they'll do it. They'll do it anyway because it's built in. It's built into the way that it functions.
Yeah. I really do love that. It's like just one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I like too that because it lowers barriers to, so we're using the word accessibility pretty broadly right now. And there are other sort of subdivisions and offshoots of it, but the lower barrier to entry to make things consciously more accessible. Meaning that that person who is just coming to grow their revenue, grow their audience, whatever, like it isn't cost prohibitive to bring in, you know, live interpreters or live captioners or other things to make it consciously accessible versus just universal design level accessible.
I wonder for y'all who are listening, and especially maybe if you're in the experiential sector or if you're working in live digital, I'm wondering if you have also run into this, the production of live digital is important. And awesome and like creates the moment that we're all after, right? But if we're going to start from the premise that live digital is the medium and the art form and the way to achieve those four things we just lined out, like that's why what we do, the strategy part of it, right? The choosing of all the choices that we have in front of us for how we're going to do live digital, where we're going to deploy it, what we're going to do with our live digital audiences before and after and between the next one, because it's so much more important, right? It's like the production piece of it is just the vehicle. It's important and it's so fun and it's my favorite thing to do. But like those four pillars reflect back that importance on the strategy part of what we do. And it's just trying to like help other people start to get their heads around that because I think that opportunity didn't exist, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really happy playing on the heels of what we just said before around making live digital. It's a term for the masses. We want to share this with everyone and giving them both, you know, varied definitions across this conversation, but as well the building blocks to then think about it for themselves through more palatable, more tangible examples like revenue. You know, the average person running a business of any sort is like, well, I know I need to make money to continue to survive. So, okay, let me look at this thing, see how it applies, see how I can fold it into how I'm currently operating, see how I can change things about my current business to incorporate or adapt to, including a live digital strategy, because it will help me drive revenue, because I get that. I know I want that. And then, you know, our other factors. Oh, yeah, audience. Audience is the way to do all of that, like by attracting new people. So I like having these pillars for people to tether themselves to a little bit more to help define live digital for themselves as they take it into their various arenas and slap it on hashtag live digital.
Who do you think will be most interested in, benefit most from, should be thinking about live digital in the next couple of years?
I think it starts in my mind with a group of people who care about something and have that shared care, concern, consideration in common. And want to therefore be able to talk to each other. And it's so much of what has made the internet great and sometimes horrible across its full lifetime is just people who share something wanting to share it with each other. And now live digital is just a new mechanism for doing that. And it's real time in a way that just wasn't possible in the same way. Mm-hmm. Again, live streaming, shoutcasting, all those things have been possible for a while. We're just sort of in a new phase of the number of people who are actually trying it and doing it, and therefore the number of different cool things you can do with it.
Yep.
You know, everyone remembers chat roulette and how cool that was until there were lots of...
penises?
Yep, that one. So I think that, like, that's the starting point. It's just like that shared connection feeling that people might have. But if we go down from there, it's like, okay, any like niche community should be connecting in some way live digitally. Mm-hmm. Brands who have like followings, and, you know, I think of, you know, I'm a runner and I quite love Nike stuff. I love the Nike mythos. I geek out about like new running shoes when they come out. And like social media is a big way that I consume that. And I see, you know, friends who are faster than me getting free shoes from Nike, and I'm jealous, but I want to hear about them and talk about them. And like,
oh, no.
I'm part of this community without even really consciously being part of it. And given the chance to engage a little bit more deeply in some sort of a live experience that, you know, I could join from my phone or my computer or whatever, like, that's cool. Like, I'm in that community and I kind of don't even realize it. And it's because I like my connection to this brand and my sort of like desire to geek out about these new running shoes, or, you know, new carbon plates in running shoes.
I love that. And something in there too, I'm glad you actually just kind of drilled that all down the way you did, because it reminded me of something that I wanted to, because I can't go a whole episode without talking about the blockchain, which makes me want to poke my eyes out. And also, I'm so excited about it. God, you guys. Ugh.
All right. Go explain blockchain.
What I wanted to say is, like, in some ways, when I was thinking, go way back to the beginning of this episode, and if live digital infrastructure, right, I think I just tend to like think about social media, Facebook Live, Instagram Live, YouTube Live, all of that stuff. And in some ways, I think there's like this weird connection between Web 2.0 and Web 3.0 in our world of live digital, where live digital social media was 2.0 because obviously the things that really were 2.0, it's in a gated, right, platform that someone else owns, but also because the choices you could make and the actions you could take during a live experience were limited, and they were all tracked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were... there was a pathway, there was a fence, as you were saying earlier, right? Like, you just kind of had to all walk down mostly the same path. The only moment, I'm probably grossly overstating my position because I haven't thought this through, but like, only moment of variable was like what someone's going to say out loud, right?
Yeah.
Whereas what we build, while we still are unfortunately using, or fortunately, I don't know, using centralized platforms, not that we use just one, but we build experiences that let go, that allow for thousands of opportunities for thousands of different kinds of interactions, that the sum total of which make an experience that is memorable, that is, makes an impression, that makes you want to come back, you know? Then in my mind, there's some connection to Web 3.0 with that sort of approach that we take.
Oh yeah. That's really interesting. I had never thought about it like Web 2.0, live digital inside of Web 2.0, wow, we're getting deep on the terminology, as being like, yeah, such a regulated, flattened experience.
Yeah.
And it's everything is flattened down to a post, basically, in Web 2.0 parlance. Like, and that was for control. That's for trackability. That's for consistency. That's just to make it easier for a company like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, to scale their product.
Yep.
Because they need it to. It's controlled centrally.
Yep.
And that the only variability, what was being captured live.
Yeah.
And like, there was a lot of variability in that. You know, you think about meteors tracking through space because people have their phones on more frequently. Like, all these things we are now capturing.
Yeah.
And like, that's super exciting, right? That there are those things to capture, but it was still just one lens. Mm-hmm. And there was no diversity or interesting changes to that lens. It was just like, hey, this lens is turned on the world and the world is interesting.
Yeah.
And now we're saying, oh, you can have multiple different lenses on the same thing reflected by two different people. And it's like the interaction of those two people is part of what's now interesting.
Yeah.
So you've got two cameras pointed at two different things. So already we're double.
Yeah.
And like, there's the environments that they are in. And then it's all the difference in energy and insight and interest that they bring into the digital sphere. So it's not just being flatly captured and like, we're fingers crossed something cool is going to happen. It's like, the actual interesting and exciting parts are happening inside of the interaction between those two people or yeah. groups of people or groups of things. And that's cool.
Oh my gosh. I wish you could have seen his eyes. You just nerded out again. This is really fun to watch here in this episode. It is cool. I agree. Okay. So to recap, I'm going to give this a stab, everyone.
Bon chance.
On my own company, by the way. I'm like, well, look, we're figuring it out just like everyone else. Live digital infrastructure is the technology that makes it possible for more than one person in different locations to connect together live in real time.
Woo!
Okay. Live digital, hashtag camel case. Yes, I got a good giggle out of him for that too. Is a medium and an art form that allows digital audiences, which can be your fans, your customers, your community, to have comparable experiences to in real IRL audiences. We create live digital strategy because successful live digital, hashtag live digital camel case.
Hashtag.
This is like not a worthwhile thing, but I cannot drop the bit. It builds audiences, it grows revenue, it deepens connections, and it co-creates radical acts of accessibility. And it does all that because live digital, hashtag camel case.
So now this joke just gets worse and then gets better because it got
yeah,
worse.
Yeah, it's a full Family Guy.
Yeah.
Because live digital experiences and the strategy around them are centered on opening up the possibilities rather than closing them down.
That was my head exploding.
So that's our version of the Josh Kaplan update on our company. I hope if you're listening, Josh, you appreciated that. Thanks for inspiring us. And I actually think now that we've done this, you know, if you're a first time listener, we split our episodes. So sometimes we talk to incredible people in the live digital space. Sometimes we just talk to each other. So I'm thinking maybe like across some of these episodes that are coming down the pipeline with just you and I, we could maybe break down like one of our, you know, live digital properties.
Oh my God. I love that idea.
In this framework.
Wait, which one are you thinking?
Well, we could certainly do Paul Taylor, I think, or Maestra.
Ooh, name drop. Paul Taylor, camel case.
Specifically because we've done them more than once, and that's like a big important part of our work mm-hmm. because we were doing this before COVID, so we actually have had a chance to see long-term results. But
I like it.
I think that actually like leads us to what we probably should do is to go back to the original property, the Give Back concert, which we've been doing for almost 9 years off and on.
The number of repetitions, the number of learnings, I do want to like dig further into that thing you said about like the origin was wanting accessibility
mm-hmm.
and then like the cobbling together of technology to make that happen. I want to hear that story in full.
So much cobbling, y'all. You're going to be so ashamed.
All right. Wow. So we're going back in the time machine.
The way back machine. All right. Well, then let's do it. Let's start knocking off little chunks of little pieces of the Give Back concert and sort of see if we can practically break it down to help people who are thinking about creating a live digital strategy for themselves. You can just listen to this podcast. You get to work with us for free.
Yeah. This is a one part origin story. Like we're freaking Marvel Cinematic Universe superheroes. And one part, like, I think this will be super helpful for people. I hope it'll be helpful for people to hear like a real world example of learning what live digital is by doing, but you get the benefit of us sort of like looking back at it and sort of digesting it a bit for you. And I think it's going to be so relevant and could apply to like anyone's project, anyone's brand.
Yeah. And if it's anything like today's episode, it'll also help us figure things out.
Thank you, everyone. Well, that was fun. Thank you all for listening and for being part of the get-together.
This is the space for you, us, and everyone else creating the live digital universe. So share this with someone who's building a future you want to see.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Jess.
And we'll see you back here next week.
Bye.